Orange Country. It's where you'll find me hitting up.
Welcome back to Eat 'Em Up, and I know it's been a while, but boy, do we have a show for you! And we have Shane Hudella here joining us. He's the president and founder of United Heroes League. So, Shane, good morning to you. Thanks again for joining us. And just a quick military background, and just all the great things you did in the military, and then why don't you follow it up with all the great things you're doing currently with United Heroes League?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on. Super excited. Haven't done a lot of podcasts, but excited to do this one for sure. So I was super fortunate to have served in the United States Army from 1988 to 2012. So did 24 years. I was in the field artillery for the biggest chunk of that time. Got to do the deployment thing over to the military or over to the Middle East. And as they say, travel to a lot of interesting places and meet a lot of interesting people. So was cool and honored to be able to put the uniform on and do my thing. And before I got off of active duty, I had just kind of a bizarre story of meeting a couple of pro hockey players here in Minnie in the Twin Cities area that said, "Hey, Army guy, come here. We want to get back to the troops through hockey. What can we do?" And so literally just kind of overnight, I decided to start a nonprofit, and away we went. And man, it's just like exploded. We've given away over $30 million now in benefits to coming up on a couple hundred thousand military families now. So it's been just super rewarding for me to stay connected with my military family, get to deal in pro hockey every day, which as a goalie with four goalie sons, is pretty cool. And be able to give back is the best part, right? Like we have these families every single day that tell us, "Hey, I couldn't have my kid in hockey if it wasn't for you guys."
Wow. And just maybe share your maybe fondest memory from the start of United Heroes League till today. Is there just a story? I know you come across so many great stories of where the donations go to, and anyone who puts money towards this great initiative. Maybe is there a story that comes up that you just think back on and just go, wow?
Yeah, and this one actually came from the OC, and it was a military guy that was serving in the Anaheim area. And early on, we were originally called Defending the Blue Line. We rebranded to become United Heroes League about 10 years ago now. But early on, like, I'm just digging it. We're handing out gear to military men and women for their kids and paying some grants, and it was all good. You know, I've done the deployment thing, and it is what it is. You know, military folks know what they sign up for, and we go and do our job. But I get a letter one day just thanking me for providing this goalie equipment for their kid and skater gear for another kid. And this guy goes on, after thanking me a bunch of times through this letter, talking about how he got shot 9 times when he was rescuing a hostage in Afghanistan. Luckily his body armor had picked up 6 of those rounds, but 3 of them got through, and, the guy ended up doing some pretty substantial rehab at Walter Reed and then locally in Southern Cal. And, you know, his name's Wade. He ended up, Wade made it back. He's still serving today. But just me as a guy that, even though I served and deployed and did all that stuff, I never got wounded. And to have somebody that was on a pretty heroic mission and had gone through some really tough stuff, thank me just for sending them some hockey gear. It really registered with me that, you know, what we're doing really isn't about that hockey stick or the equipment. This guy went on in his letter to talk about how hockey is really what binds him and his family together. And it gave him this cool, positive thing for the kids to focus on while he was going through rehab. And he talked about how, you know, his kids' daily life at the time was go to school, get out of school, go see dad in the hospital, help change his bandages or whatever, and then go to hockey practice, right? And for these kids, especially for them to be able to, like, just escape for an hour, right? Get out on the ice, not worry about dad, not worry about where equipment's coming from. For me, that's the biggest reward, just to say, hey, you know, we help these kids get their mind off some pretty tough times.
That's unbelievable. You're doing such great things, Shane. You really are. And for anyone who wants to donate to United Heroes League, tell those people that are potentially going to donate what their money would go to here within this next year.
Yeah, well, one, we're super appreciative for every dollar that comes in. We're, you know, we're incredibly responsible. The number that I'm probably the proudest of is the fact that we give back anywhere between like 85 and 90% of every donation goes to actual programs. That's a really high percentage rate to have in the nonprofit world. So folks can hop on, go to giveuhl.org. It's going to help us fund more grants for kids. That's a big one. Your average sergeant, no matter which branch they're in, that's serving in the military, makes about $34,000 per year. So it's pretty tough. I've got four boys that were all goalies. There's absolutely no way that I could have put those guys through hockey making that kind of money, right? So we can help subsidize their fees with grants. We can take care of them through our equipment program, which donations help fund the shipping of that. We have great partnerships with the Ducks, who fundraise every military night for us each year, and the NHLPA and the NHL itself that help make that equipment program happen. But it's doing some cool stuff for the kids. And then one of the big things we've gotten into really since COVID is bringing current and former NHL players face to face with these kids. They look up to guys like you, Emerson, right, that made it to that top level. And for us to be able to get the kids in hockey and then give them this special experience of meeting a pro is just really the cherry on top. So folks that want to support us, that's what they're supporting. It's men and women from every branch of service. Doesn't matter if they're currently serving or if they're a veteran. We're here for them.
So awesome, man. You texted me a couple of days ago a picture of a hockey rink that you guys had yeah. built. I mean, not only the outdoor rink, but what else do you got cooking up here in the next, once again, year or so?
Yeah, we're just it's great news for us. The NHL is launching their first ever league-wide military initiative. Teams like the Ducks have always done a great job with it, but there's never been an actual league-wide initiative. So we're working with the NHL right now to help them launch that throughout North America. Our program supports U.S. military families as well as Canadian Forces families. So we're going to be doing more camps and clinics in all 32 NHL markets. We're going to be growing the program and the giving throughout North America. And then aside from that, which is our day-to-day mission, we're also building the nation's first sports complex for military kids and veterans. So we've got a pretty special outdoor rink here in Minnesota, refrigerated NHL size. We host military kids and clinics and veteran hockey games on it. And then we share it with the community, and those rental fees help subsidize the free ice for military kids. but our long-term plan is to be able to say, hey, you know what, let's fly some kids up from Orange County or LA or from Southern Cal and do a clinic for them here. Maybe get them out of mom and dad's hair for a week and give them a really cool experience on our rink. And, you know, we think it's a pretty special thing for these kids that maybe don't get a lot of opportunities just because mom and dad move around a lot and don't make a lot of money, but yet they're still putting themselves in harm's way on a regular basis. We want to treat those folks, you know, like they're the most important people in the world. And if we can give them a cool trip to come and experience some outdoor hockey, we think that's a pretty neat opportunity to do.
Oh, Shane, so much good stuff there. You're making me tear up. Honestly, it's emotional. But yeah, I mean, you're just doing so many fantastic things. So, thank you. Thank you for your service in the military. Thank you for you continuing to serve just the community with this unbelievable organization. So, before we wrap things up here, Ducks 6 wins out of the last 7 games. I mean, just touch on it. I mean, what's going right for this Ducks team? I mean, so much is going right, but just your overall thoughts on the latest success.
Yeah, it's so great to see, right? And, you know, you obviously made it to that highest level, and I've been lucky just as a military chump to be around the league now for 15 years and know a lot of the guys. It's been cool talking to a couple of the guys that are at Four Nations now that want to visit our military kids that we're going to have at the championship game in a couple of days here. But, you know, teams turn over. They do. And at some point, GMs have to make decisions to go young and look at the future. And there's always the question mark of when it's going to click. So to see the Ducks, who are one of our best partners in the league, really making that turn now and having these younger guys click and the team's got success and they're getting wins, I love it. You know, even though I'm in Minnesota, I kind of really don't have a favorite team around the league. I like the guys and like all the support that we get from the league. So it's been really fun to watch. Like, the Ducks have a lot of recent success, win some big games, and think that everybody's probably looking for that to carry over to next season now.
Shane Hudela, veteran and founder, president of United Heroes League. You're doing so much great stuff. Keep it going. Shane, thanks for joining us, and we'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks, man. Again, appreciate you having me on and all you're doing for us.
Such good things from Shane Hudela and United Heroes League. I mean, if you could do anything to help them out, such great people over there, and they're doing wonderful things. So we get another perspective here from another person who is on the front lines, and Randall Wright, part of the Los Angeles Fire Department, has a firsthand experience of what it was like being in the thick of it for the devastating fires up in Los Angeles. So once again, great talk with Shane, and I really look forward to this one. So let's hear Randall Wright with his recount of everything that happened with these devastating Los Angeles fires.
My name is Randall Wright. I'm a fire captain and a paramedic with the Los Angeles County Fire Department. I've served for the last 19 years here, and I'm currently stationed in the city of Inglewood. I became a Ducks fan back in 1993 when the Ducks came to town. I was playing for the now defunct South Coast Sabres Hockey Club there in Anaheim when the only rink around was Glacial Gardens. I was lucky enough to see some of the Ducks players practicing there when there was events going on at Honda Center. Some of my best memories are sharing the Ducks with my family. My father recently suddenly passed away, and some of the great memories I have are going to him with some of the games the first season with the Ducks, him picking me up and taking me to practice as a kid, and now being able to share that love of hockey with my two sons, one of them actually being named Emerson, who's now 6 years old playing hockey. Those memories will last forever. One of the greatest ones would be taking my dad when I got older to see the Ducks win the Stanley Cup in person. I have that photo on my wall, and it's something I can look back on and remember those great memories of my dad and the Ducks. Was a season seat holder for years, and I'm so happy to watch them now and share that with my sons as they fall in love with hockey and to show them those highlights. Some of my favorite memories other than winning the Stanley Cup was probably the comeback on Catella. I got to sit there up with my mom when the Ducks came back in that awesome game against the Edmonton Oilers. They were down by a lot, and the funniest thing is my mom looked over and said, "I think we're going to come back and win this game." And I didn't believe her, but as I've always learned, mom seems to always be right. And that was just a great memory. Still remember that overtime comeback goal from Devontae Smith-Pelly in overtime. And one of the other ones would be a pretty awesome breakaway goal scored by none other than Emerson Edom against the Winnipeg Jets with just an amazing move. And what a series. My experience being a firefighter, have really enjoyed being able to help people in their time of need. I've been a paramedic where I've had the chance to help people at their worst moments, and to know that we have the training, skills, and experience to help people at their worst moment, and they can look to us and trust us, is something that I hold very near and dear to my heart. Fires have always been challenging. Went on the Woosley fire years ago in Malibu, and that was one of some of the worst destruction I've ever seen, and thought that'd probably be the worst fire of my career. And these last recent fires were even more devastating and challenging. Seeing just the destruction driving down PCH is something that I can't even put into words. I know I think about all those families that have lost everything, but even more, the community that was lost around sports, for these kids that played baseball or played hockey and played soccer in these communities. Where do they go now? And how do they have that support of youth sports? How do they have their support network and their friends now that they've been moved around and may or may not have a home to live in? The one thing about that was really challenging during these fires for firefighter families is being away. I was gone for 10 days straight. And the true heroes during this are our families at home. We got the call in the middle of the night that, hey, you need to come in, Captain Wright. We need to staff up extra engines for these fires. And without any delay, my wife took the reins, and she took care of getting all the kids to school and work, and her still working and taking care of the household while we were gone for 10 days. So these husbands and wives of firefighters and children that are at home while we're gone are the real heroes that allow us to do what we do. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to staff up during these emergencies and being able to help like this. And that was the hardest part, is being gone from your family for that long and knowing how hard it is for them. But luckily we were able to FaceTime them and check in on them, and the community support around my family during this, of people dropping off food to make sure my wife had some extra help, friends picking up the kids from practice and helping, was something that is so, so amazing. And it really was such a great thing of seeing our community come together, not only to help out the people that have lost everything, but to help the helpers. And it is something that I'll never forget, and I am forever grateful for. But it can't go without saying how invaluable the families of firefighters are that allow us to do what we do. And it's going to be a long road to recovery, but it's something we know that we will get through and we will recover from. I'm really excited about the Ducks. I think the youth movement is something that's been so fun to watch. It's been a tough few years, but I think some of my favorite things going on right now are players like Leo Carlson, who's just so much fun to watch. Been able to, luckily with now all the games being on TV and being able to stream them, I'm able to catch them at the fire station when I'm gone from the house. And being able to watch this youth movement, seeing the Brett Seneca, seeing the stuff that's being done in his campaign right now, and knowing that we have so many young players developing and growing, and such a fun game and style of hockey to watch. Seeing us win 6 out of the last 7 games has been inspiring. It's been a tough road for this team, but it's something I know that they can turn around, and it's only a bright future to go. So I'm really excited being a Ducks fan. I've loved being a firefighter serving my community. Hockey has been my kind of getaway from the stress of work, the stress of the calls and the things that we see. It's always been my happy place to go to. So going to Honda Center has been my happy place. And now seeing my kids fall in love with the same sport, seeing them with their Ducks jerseys on. My son, for Christmas, all he wanted was all the street hockey goalie pads. And he's got his Ducks helmet, and playing in the backyard with him brings back so many memories of playing with my dad. Hockey is such a family event, and being able to watch the games with them now and explain what's going on has been a real great moment for me. And there's so many parallels being a firefighter into hockey. Everything is, there's so much, it's teamwork. It's the same as the Ducks players that sit in the locker room and you look to the person to the left and the person to the right of you, and knowing that they would do anything for you to accomplish the mission. For us, our mission's a little different than winning a game, but it's relying on your teammates. It's knowing that the person sitting next to you is willing to go that extra mile for you. We know there's going to be ups and downs. At the firehouse, we live with each other, same as the hockey players, that the Ducks players that have to travel all over, wake up at all odd hours. And there's so many parallels between sports and the fire service. And me growing up in hockey, I've been able to bring all those aspects of teamwork, commitment, and caring from those times in youth hockey to what I am now as a leader, as a fire captain. Now being a little older, I'm able to instill those values on the younger firefighters, show them the things that I've learned. And it's kind of that role of those players in the locker room that share that knowledge with the younger generation that's coming up. It's kind of like what we have with the Ducks, is showing them the way of how, what is right, what looks right. And it's something that I'm so happy to be part of. And having that background in hockey has made it so much easier.
Wow. Unbelievable. Randall, we thank you for your service, and it's just what you went through, the sacrifices that firefighters really all over, of course, but of course, in particular, these Los Angeles fires, what they put themselves through, their department, and just the sacrifices they make. It's remarkable. So thank you for your service. And it really highlights just how much of an impact that our first responders make, whether it be Shane and his sacrifice in service of this great country, or Randall Wright, who's on the front lines fighting fires day in, day out. We thank you both, and thanks for jumping on Eat 'Em Up and sharing your perspective with all the great things you've got going on, but also the important things you got going on as well. Let's get into, well, little Ducks news. Ducks, the good guys, have won 6 out of the last 7 games. They exposed the defensive flaws in the game against Pittsburgh and Nashville. Those games 1 and 2 of the last 7. Then you had the 3rd of the last 7, Seattle. I mean, they put up a combined 16 goals in those 3 games. And I actually asked head coach Greg Cronin what the key to the consistent goal scoring of late has been. He just said, guys are just finding it. Early in the season, they weren't. Now they are. Mason McTavish was the Ducks' best player in that 3-game win streak. The first one, of course, collecting 5 goals, 1 assist over that 3-game win streak. Tough loss to Calgary, separated the 2 3-game heaters for this Ducks squad. The Canadians are absolutely skidding. So not much to brag about there with that win, besides a nice comeback win in that one. I mean, the fellas came out extremely slow. Habs got the first 2 goals of the game. Good guys claw back in a gutsy performance. 3 unanswered goals seals the deal, 3-2. And how about these last 2 wins? 2 great team wins, one versus Dallas, and of course, one against LA. 2 low-scoring tilts. LA, of course, that game going into a shootout. And how about those moves? I mean, Trevor Zegras, how about this stat? Trevor now holds the NHL record for all-time shootout goal percentage, minimum 11 attempts. That's unbelievable. That's unreal. You need that guy right now on your squad. It's a 500 Ducks team right now with these last wins. So they clawed back in that aspect. Yes, still outside looking in for playoffs, but when it comes to these close games, the 2-1 games, the 3-2 games, so on and so forth, the one goal games. You need a guy that when it's all tied up, no one seals it in OT, it goes to a shootout. You need Trevor Zegras on your squad. And it's so good having him on the good guys because he's getting it done and just great moves. Trevor coming on the near side, kind of hits that middle line, maybe a little bit over, little pump fake and goes shelf on that left side. It was a beauty. And then, of course, Leo doing what he does, pump fake out to his forehand, slides it home. That's his signature. Unbelievable. We'll get to Leo here more in a second discussing this Four Nation tournament. But that move was spectacular. We've seen it before. And I just think back to when he did it against Colorado there. It's so effective. He could do that 100 times in a row. The goalie could know he's doing it, and he'd still be able to beat him. That's how much he sells it. That's how much real estate he executes on East-West. I mean, it's full range, and it's so silky smooth. The good guys seal the deal at Crypto. Such a good feeling, right? The freeway face-off there, getting the latest one under our belts. That feels good. And look, all these good things happening heading into this current Four Nations break. A tough 3-game road trip coming up, starting in Boston, following up with one in Detroit, and ending in Buffalo. So it's not going to be easy, but look, Buffalo, they're playing better as of late. Detroit has completely turned it around, and they are on fire with the addition of head coach Todd McClellan there. And so, good pickup by them. Seems to be working out. That's not going to be an easy one. Boston, of course, no slouch. It's not going to be easy. Games 1 and 2. Buffalo's playing well. So all in all, it's going to be a tough road trip. But the boys are cooking. The good guys are playing the best hockey of the season. And it couldn't have come at a better time. Let's turn our sights to a little Four Nations, shall we? Game 1, Canada versus Sweden. How about that behind the backhand pass? The behind the back backhand pass on the near side from Sid the Kid to Nathan MacKinnon on the peepers. That was just pristine. And great half wall work on the near side, gets it down low to Sid the Kid and just back door. It was unbelievable. Then the Braden Point, the entry, it's just the delay, the hesitation. And the eventual pass to Marchand was a thing of beauty. It really was. That put Canada up 2-0. Sweden comes back with a greaser. And then Sid the Kid. Look, Sid still at his... I mean, he might be the best puck protection or have the best puck protection skills of any player to ever play the game. It was unbelievable on that entry. Keeps it on the outside. And a little spinorama pass to Mark Stone, who's right down Main Street. He snapped it home. What a beauty. Adrian Kempe, look, he's a superstar, Adrian Kempe. He's that goal scorer that I don't think is even talked about. Hate saying that about any player on the Kings, but he comes back with a sneaky one. He's turned into a pure sniper at the international level, at the NHL level. He just gets it done. And I mean, what a shot. I mean, that it was a sneaker, and it was a tough one to stop. Joel Eriksson Ek with a Lando Lakes butter of a shot. Beauty backdoor shelf shot. He collects it. It was a little bit of a knuckler of a puck, and he still puts it home. So that was a nice goal. And just a quick note, the ability for these guys at this Four Nations tourney to find the dead spots. It's just the urgency in which they do it. It's the game's highest level players, and they just fight to get to those dead spots. The urgency and the relentlessness in which they do so, it's spectacular. And it's just exactly how Eriksson Ek did with that goal, finding the backdoor dead spot there under duress and puts it over Binnington. The best part was OT. It was back and forth. MacKinnon with some razzle dazzles, Willie Styles all over the ice. And the OT was spectacular before Marner. Just a little pump fake out to his forehand and goes low short side over the pad. A thing of beauty to win in an OT. Game was 4-3 for the guys just north of us. But Philip Gustafson, I mean, he was outstanding. So was Binnington. Not a whole lot of shot volume between the two clubs. 28 shots on goal for the winner. 26 shots, for Sweden. Look, these guys on this stage, they're just looking for the highest percentage place. And that's just why the shots on goal numbers are pretty low. Game two, USA versus Finland. USA, they just try to shoot everything early on. They really did. Hughes, quick shot on net. Nelson almost fools the tendy. And Joki Haru, he throws a greaser on net. That was the first of the game. It was greasy. You question the coverage with Olli Maatta just all alone. But, hey, it was a greasy one. Finland gets on the board first. But how about Brady Tkachuk finishing strong with USA's first tuck? He's so good in his office there around the blue paint. He just said. So that ties it up. Finland with some huge chances, but Hellebuck, man, he was so solid, as we saw in that huge breakaway attempt from Halla. I mean, just a great move and a great save. Boldy comes up big with a beautiful tip on Faber. Nice board battle one on the near side. Low-high sequence and just getting it to the net. It's just the NHL, the top teams, it's exactly what they do. They shoot early on. They back the other team up, and then they work it on the perimeter. And that's exactly what this USA's team's, I mean, they've been doing all tourney. This last game was a tough one, I get it, but they've been looking so sharp, so on the same page. Matthew Tkachuk with a crisp, just a crisp, quick greaser, getting that sneaker through, just a little turnarounder. It was a nice one. Gensel gets a nice five-hole shot. It's had a couple of those five-hole on the ice, five hole shots that he's so good at doing. He beats Saros. And the wheels just start falling off Finland. Just UC Saros, wheels started falling off him. And Brady Tkachuk with that area pass off the rush. He brings it back to the back end for the red, white, and blue's fifth goal. That was silky. And then Matthew Tkachuk with a greaser, a rebound tally. It was just all-out dominant performance. I know Finland once again got on the board first, but 6-1 for the good guys, Team USA. You love to see it. Game three, Finland versus Sweden. That was a close 4-3 winner in OT for Finland. Patrick Laine with a huge 2-assist performance. Let me tell you, these two countries, they didn't need anything else to solidify their hate for one another. Really. I mean, you saw the promo for this one. Both teams, they were asked to say one nice thing about the opposition prior to the start of the game. They couldn't do it. Both can't stand each other, and Sweden was taught a lesson in this one. A tough defeat for Sweden. Game four, USA versus Canada. I mean, how about this? How about this one? Three scraps. Come on. In the first 9 seconds, that set the tone. Team USA didn't like the booze being poured down there. And, they let everyone know. The first goal of the game, beautiful stretch pass from Doughty. I mean, that's why they added him late. Beautiful, beautiful stretch out of the zone. Nice little stutter, backhand shelf tuck from McDavid. That was disgusting. Jake Gensel with a very Cutter Gauthier-esque shot, right? On the ice. He slides it between Bennington's wickets for a beauty. That was the equalizer. Dylan Larkin, the far side low beauty, just the way this game was going. I mean, you just knew this game, and I mean, that goal in particular was going to be the game winner. The goaltending was just too tight, too good. Gensel seals the deal with the empty netter. 3-1, red, white, and blue over the red and white guys from up north. What a thriller that was. The last two games have seen a dub for Canada as they beat a better than expected Finland squad. I mean, let's all be honest. Finland's been doing things I don't think anyone that they were going to do. That game was 5-3. McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby, and Reinhardt all with 2-point performances in that one. And Sweden downs USA 2-1. That was weird. That was very weird. The weakest team in the tourney, Sweden, they took down the USA, who seems to be the strongest team by this point. They really do. Goaltender on out. Sweden's netminder, Samuel Eriksson, having a phenomenal game. That last game, 33 shots against, stopped 32 of them. And heading into this final game, USA, Canada, rematch. Going to be gold. It really is. But USA, let's dive into some of their injury trouble right now. Matthew Tkachuk out as a precaution. Auston Matthews out as a precaution. Charlie McAvoy out with an upper body injury. Brady Tkachuk crashed into the net, goes to the room, and returns, plays three shifts. Vincent Trocheck takes puck off a hand and leaves. So a lot going on. We'll see. I mean, could be some last second additions. Could be warm-ups taken. Okay, put me in. I'm ready to go. That's very much what it could boil down to. So can't wait. Can't wait for that one. And the Ducks, 6 wins, last 7 games. Four Nations tournament. Of course, Leo joining Sweden. Looked great. They're that last game playing some top line minutes and doing well. So we always root for our guys. And, no, Leo showed well as he always does. He continues to trend in the right direction. Lesson learned in some areas in that game, of course, but, we know he's a student of the game and, he'll continue to get better and better and better. Well, my final thought, this is a big final thought. Check out my new EP, Orange Country EP. You could buy the EP. It's a 2-disc track, and you can buy it on www.orangecountryep.com. Yes, you can buy both songs, and net proceeds benefiting the 2025 GoFundMe Wildlife Relief Fund. And then it's going to be split with Shane Hudela's unbelievable organization, United Heroes League. So going to a good cause. Please support those good causes by rocking out to my EP. Can't wait. Bangers on there. Trust me, you know your boy, Emmer. Only creating bangers. So appreciate the support. It's going to be a hit. We're going to make it a hit. And thanks for tagging along with me and doing big things for the community. Go Ducks.